Welcome. This is EconoDay's Economist Roundtable with Jeremy Hawkins in London and Mark Pender in the U.S. I am Ann Picker, EconoDay's Chief Economist. Before we check in with Mark and Jeremy, a quick update on the events in Asia and Pacific. Over the weekend, China lowered its economic growth target for 2017 to 6.5%. from last year's range of 6.5 to 7%. Actual growth in 2016 was right on the nose of 6.7%. The estimate continues a long streak in China of trying to dampen expectations as the country grapples with problems such as a maturing economy, considerable industrial overcapacity, growing debt load, and, of course, its pollution problems. Since the financial crisis, China has rapidly expanded debt to stimulate the economy and to make sure it hit its fairly ambitious growth targets. Obviously, there are people that feel more modest projections should be made and debt lowered. Last night, U.S. Eastern Time, as expected, the Reserve Bank of Australia kept its cash rate at 1.5%. Fourth quarter inflation was up 1.5% on the year, which is below the bank's 2 to 3% inflation target range. But the bank expects it to increase to the lower limit, i.e. 2% during this year. Overall, the bank said global growth and commodity prices have improved, and that in turn is boosting income. The RBA generally had a positive view of the domestic economy, with gains in consumption as well as exports and non-mining investment, and that is very important. Moving right along, Jeremy.
Okay, well, here I suppose it's also something of a central bank focus at the moment. ECB meet on Thursday, and I guess a couple of months or so ago, there wouldn't really have been a great deal of interest in it since policy pretty well appears to have been set for the year. However, as folks might have seen, we saw inflation moving up to 2% on a headline basis in the flash data reported for reported last week. So ostensibly, we're actually sort of in line with the ECB's target already now. Now, why is that important? Well, when we get to Thursday, we'll see the central bank updating its quarterly economic forecasts. And this time round, they might actually be quite important. As we talked about previously, on a short-term basis, it's not so much headline inflation as underlying inflation that the ECB looks at. So really, we're looking at the HICP, their consumer price index, excluding the most volatile components such as food and energy and so on. However, over the longer term, of course, you can't really ignore those components since they are a major aspect of the of a consumer price basket. So when we get these updated forecasts on Thursday, I think investors and financial markets really need to look at the longer term forecasts, because if we see those being moved up significantly, this year is almost guaranteed to see quite a sharp increase. But if the forecasts for 2018 and for 2019 are shown to be higher and stay higher as well, then that's certainly another market beginning to think that, well, perhaps this tapering, which is due to begin in April, and that's just a one-off taper of reducing asset purchases by 20 billion a month to 80 billion a month. If we were to see that happening, then it really suggests that perhaps the tapering process could be accelerated, which, of course, is the first step on the process to a tightening. So that's very much something to look forward to on Thursday. In addition to which, of course, very much focus on what Mr. Draghi has to say in terms of the overall tone of his press statement and also the forward guidance. Any kind of shift in the current forward guidance, which really promises to keep rates at current levels, indeed even lower going forward, any change in that, that lab also have the more hawkish people in the market thinking about a tightening at some point. Otherwise, a big event, I suppose, out of Europe this week will be tomorrow for the UK. We get the budget. This will be the last of the spring budgets for the UK. As of next year, they'll be moving to a single budget rather than the two we currently have every year, and that will take place in the autumn time. But with regards to Wednesday's statement, It's going to be interesting because we've seen the UK economy easily outperforming expectations since the Brexit vote last June. That means that the government is probably going to be better off by what, the best part of 10 or 20 billion sterling compared to where it thought it would be this time last year. And that's got some people talking about the possibility of some kind of buying spree just to make sure that the economy doesn't slow down as we go through 2017. In practice, though, it looks increasingly as if we're going to see a very cautious statement. We'll probably see, in fact, some tax increases to some extent. And it appears that the government, which is still cautious about what the outlook's going to be for the UK as we go into the Brexit negotiations, it looks as if they're trying to build up some kind of war chest just to ensure that they have some ammunition to help growth if it looks like there's going to be a major slowdown. One other point, or a couple of points worth mentioning, there has been some talk about a possible change to the UK inflation target tomorrow. If it were to happen, that would mean introducing a new measure of inflation. So rather than the standard consumer price index that everyone's become so used to, they'd introduce the so-called CPIH. And that just adds a measure of owner-occupiers' housing costs into the CPI to make it a better gauge. Would it be important? Well, in practice, the two measures tend to move very much in line with each other. So although markets may be agitated at first, if it were to happen, and it's certainly not guaranteed anyway, it shouldn't be of overly significant. One last thing just to mention quickly is that as of March the 13th, we'll get the end of the Bank of England's quantitative easing buying. So all the gilt purchases and corporate bond purchases will come to a halt as part of this asset purchase programme. That's been supporting UK markets for some while now. Clearly, people should be aware of it, but nonetheless, it could come as a bit of a psychological jolt.
Aside on inflation measures by central banks, the Bank of Canada has introduced three rather esoteric measures of inflation that nobody has quite gotten a handle on as yet. But it seems to be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think that's right. It does seem now that, you know, central banks are starting to look around and wonder whether or not pure inflation targeting is the right route to be on in the first place. And if it is the right route, is the CPI itself the right measure?
Well, is that a surprise, given that now inflation is at target and now policy decisions moments, we're at those pivot moments, and they seem to be wanting to push those back? So I think that that's at play here, too. And if I can go on, I mean, we have the FOMC next week. We have expectations now are that they are going to raise rates. And that will follow a 1.9% showing in the PCE year-on-year gauge, which is their private target. And they've been downplaying its approach to the 2% right up to the last minute, you know, and it's still below 2%, but it's on its way. And this has a lot to do, it's almost baked in the cake here because of the year-ago inflation comparisons. This time last year, energy prices were very low, and this is going to go on for another several months. So, and when you do the year-on-year comparison, you get this this big boost. So you're going to want to either change the if you want to downplay the importance of having met your target, then you can search for other measures, such as in this case we have the core measure, which is a few tenths behind and going not straight up because it excludes food, but very, very gradually higher. And the missing piece here is wage inflation. And we've had bursts of it the last 6 months or so, but nothing steady. And Friday we have the employment report here, and we're looking for a 0.3% monthly increase in average hourly earnings, and that's a significant increase on a monthly basis. And if that begins to move, reapproach the 3% range, that could be the factor that kicks in that makes what seems to have been a tame inflation environment not so tame at all. And this is becoming, for the U.S., before what is expected to be a significant stimulus program for the government, which in itself, at a time coming of full employment, at a time it would seem to be inflationary. These are the factors right at play. Now, oh, by the way, Jeremy, I had a question on UK and also European housing. How is housing? You're talking about the CPI. Here, housing is running, price appreciation is running at about the mid-single digits. And the housing sector has been kind of, it strengthened a little bit last year nicely, actually, to cycle highs. But it's been rough again the beginning of this year. There's no sign of a housing bubble over here. How about over there?
No, not at all. Certainly, as far as continental Europe's been concerned, there hasn't really been any issues concerning of or worries about a housing market bubble for a long time now. In the UK, of course, it has been a slightly different story in the sense that we only had to go back, what, a year or so ago. We had house prices running at an annual rate of 10% or indeed more than that. And a continued run of that was certainly raised some real concerns at the Bank of England. But over the course of, what, the last 12 months or so, we've seen inflation coming down to around about the 5% or so mark on an annual basis. And indeed, putting a straight line through it, it looks as if that could perhaps cool a little bit further. So as things currently stand, I think, you know, the monetary policymakers over here will be quite pleased with the housing market. They can't afford to see it, you know, fall down rapidly because that would lead to big implications for the economy. At the same time, they don't want it going up too quickly because they've got some inflation problems in the UK already. So a nice, steady, slow increase in the house price would be just about right for them.
Yeah, I think that description is here too. I'd also like to add, this morning we had trade data, U.S. trade data, and it showed a significant widening in January. And this is a negative for first quarter GDP, which now looks to be, it was already, you know, it never really was great, maybe around that 2% area trending. And now it looks to be more like the 1% area. But still, the driving force for the U.S. in the first quarter, at least the early look. But the driving force is the consumer, which whose spending has been, you know, above that a little bit. We still have to find out what February retail sales will be. That'll come out next week. But we'll get a good indication on how strong the consumer is by Friday's employment report, where the Econoday consensus is calling for a considerable 195,000 rise in on-farm payroll.
Thanks, guys. Until next week.